This is the Reading Envy Podcast, where we'll have what you're reading. Hello, and welcome to the Reading Envy Pub, where there's tinsel all over the ground and signs that are hanging sideways. But it made it through the holidays.
Is there a storm?
There was lots of festivities.
Ah,
that's right. Booktivities.
Booktivities.
That's right.
So well, I brought you cider, Scott.
Oh, so thank you very much. Thank you very much. So how are you?
I am doing very well.
You had
an
eventful break, didn't you?
Yeah. Got away a little bit, did a lot of reading.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. It's always nice to be able to get to do that. How about you?
Well, it was, you know, a lot of family stuff. It was definitely fun.
Good.
I had a good time. Didn't get a lot of reading done, but I got just a couple. But I think my breaks are busy with family and driving around all the time. And plus I have to work during it. not 100% all the way through, but it makes me want to work at a university.
Yeah, and what days we weren't closed, I just took off.
Oh,
so
that's cool.
It's nice to have an actual break.
Yes, well, good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. So what did you read over the break?
Well, I went to the Bahamas and Florida, so I read a bunch of books that were set in those places.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really fun. I didn't end up necessarily loving any of them.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not going to talk about any of those today.
Well, how did you decide what to take?
I did a lot of research. And some of the books I had on hand and then some of them I had to go find. Well, I have to take that back. I finished up the Southern Reach trilogy by Jeff Vandermeer.
Oh, yeah.
And I really liked reading that. All three books came out last year. It was really fun to read them all in that year that they came out and everything. And where I was in Florida, some of the landscape kind of felt like it matched what was being described in the books outside of Area X.
Mm-hmm.
So I just love to read books that are in the place where you are. And so that was a good experience. And then some of the fantasy novels I had lying around my house were about ocean related places, not necessarily where I was going, but I decided it fit well enough to read them.
Nice.
So, I don't know. It was fun.
Oh, that's cool.
To do that.
That's fun.
If you Google books set in and then a place, you can find your way to a lot of lists.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, I just do that with every little place.
Uh-huh.
It works really well.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
There are surprisingly few books set in the Bahamas.
Uh-huh.
So.
People are busy doing other things, I guess.
I guess. Or they're like trashy romance novels, which isn't what I read. So
gotcha. Well, cool. I spent, the first book that I read over the holidays was a Star Trek book, which I haven't done for a very long time. And I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Good.
I started just to get a hankering for Star Trek and I was lamenting the movies and things. The movies were good, the last two movies,
mm-hmm.
but they blew up the whole universe. And it was like, okay, we're doing it all over again, it's like you sit there and you watch the movie and it's like fun to see them play with everything. But mm-hmm. then when it's all over with, you're like, oh my gosh, they blew up everything that I grew up with.
So all the story that you know from
right.
all the shows and all the other books isn't true anymore?
Well, kind of. It was a spoiler for the Star Trek movies. So, It starts off in that first movie that's just called Star Trek, the one that came out a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a timeline branch. So you've got Kirk and Spock and the original crew, all with different actors. But then they made a major change in the timeline that screws everything else up for the future. So... Mm-hmm. You could look at it in the way that, okay, well, the other timeline still exists, you know, and there's now a parallel timeline that these guys are in.
I see.
I find that very annoying.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's one timeline you know, I'm not a person who believes that there are parallel universes with other us's in it. You know, if there are multiple universes, I don't expect that there's a me over there.
So the book that you read, what yes. is the title of it?
It's called Star Trek Vanguard is the name of this miniseries. And this is something that I found out about the Star Trek books since I stopped reading them a long time ago. I actually, this may or may not interest people, but I you know, when I was with SFF Audio, I was writing reviews for them all the time. Every Star Trek audiobook that came out, I would listen to. That was like one of the things I really looked forward to. And they would come out with one every few months, and they were always abridged. They were getting longer towards the end, but then they just stopped making them. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I haven't
seen one come out for a while.
Yeah, for a long, long time. So, well, they have audiobooks for the movies, but not the novels. So, so I stopped listening to them. I would say that ended probably 5 or 6 years ago. I think it's been that long. So I haven't read anything since then, and I haven't read anything in print for probably 10 years. And, so I was sitting there lamenting or just thinking about the movies and going, boy, I wonder what they're going to do. And then it occurred to me, you know, there's Star Trek novels. And if I want new Star Trek, that exists and they're in these novels. And, so I started to poke around and look at it, and I found the neatest podcast. If you're a Star Trek fan and you're interested in the books, there's a podcast called Literary Treks. And they've got like 86 episodes. So they've been around for a while. And I just started at number one and I started to listen to them. And let's see, I popped it up here. There's the two hosts. There's Matthew Rushing and Dan Gunther. And it's on trek.fm is the website name. And they have probably 10 Star Trek podcasts. But this Literary Treks one is one that I've never heard of. But it's great. You know, I started to listen to it, and they just talk about Star Trek novels. So wow. It's
specific.
Yeah. And you start to catch up on things that the Star Trek novels have been doing for the last 4 years. And they have really, one of the problems with Star Trek novels has been that the crew has to end up where they started in every book because they don't want to make any major changes, right? Because the TV shows and the movies are going on. So right. If you kill Mr. Spock in a novel, which would be very, very, very sad, but if you did that in a novel, then it messes up with the movie timeline. So I'm used to Star Trek books doing that. You know, you read them, it's a nice adventure, but you're never really thinking that anything's going to happen to anybody or nobody's going to get married. Mm-hmm. You know, no, all this stuff. They've got to end where they started because it's Star Trek and the TV and the movies is what rules. So, but it's not really like that anymore. Especially with things like Deep Space Nine, which is my favorite Star Trek show, they've taken off from the end of there. And this is something I learned through Literary Treks. I haven't read into it yet, but I'm going to. They've taken from the end of Deep Space Nine and moved on, and lots of things apparently happen.
So the novels have done that,
right? Right. Okay. So there's a specific series of novels that are called, I think, the Deep Space Nine Relaunch or something like that.
So you have some story to catch up on.
Yeah, exactly. That's exciting because Deep Space Nine is the show that I loved, and there it is. But I started with something called Star Trek Vanguard, which is a 7-book series, and it takes place. It's in the original series universe, but Vanguard is a space station in this universe. So. If there's Star Trek fans out there, there's a show called Where No Man Has Gone Before, which was one of the first ones ever made. So Captain Kirk is a brand new captain and things, and it takes place right after that. But the original series crew is a peripheral participant in the book. So they're not the main focus of it, but they're around. So it's a book that takes place in the same universe. And I think the intent was, here, let's establish the crew of this Vanguard and write a series of novels about them. And it was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you said it's, you started a 7-book series. Did you read the first book?
I read
or
the
did
first
you read the whole
book.
Series?
No. I read the first book. Yeah, but I started the second. I've got it and I've started it. So I am planning to continue. It's pretty highly regarded amongst Star Trek fans. They seem
you
to enjoy
Trekkies.
It. Trekkies, yeah. Trekkers. Trekkies. It's funny. I don't know what the accepted term is anymore. I remember watching a Star Trek fan documentary. I think it was called Trekkies. And they were like, well, some of us prefer to be called Trekkers. And I was just like, okay, whatever. But anyway, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought that was a lot of fun, and it's neat to see what they've done with them. Lots of miniseries going on in that universe right now. There's, a series of, 7 books or 4 books or 3 books or 2 books that, deal with a certain aspect of Star Trek.
So are there different authors for the different little sub
Yeah.
directions? Is that
there
what
is.
Happens?
Well, kind of. The Vanguard series is not all written by the same person.
Oh, okay.
So Harbinger is written by a guy named David Mack. And book 2 is written by Dayton Ward and Kevin Dillmore. I know David Mack returns. It looks like he wrote book 3. I'm just kind of flipping through him. So, and listening to the interview on Literary Treks, it's fun to listen to them talk about, or they talk to some of these writers and how these guys come up, how do they decide what to do? They're one of a group of writers. So it's a different thing than writing your own stuff mm-hmm. where you're like, okay, Captain Kirk is going to go through this or whatever. They have to decide this as a group, and there's got to be some kind of a overall authority, the editors at Simon & Schuster. I assume there's a department where they would make these decisions and say, yeah, that's what we're going to do.
Sounds kind of like they'd get together in a writer's room, like on a TV show, but then instead of writing a show that gets filmed, they just write a novel.
That's really the way it is. Very
that's
well
cool.
put. Yeah. Learn that. There was a interview on Literary Treks, I think it was episode 4 or 5, with David Mack, the one who wrote the first Vanguard book, and that's pretty much how he lays it out there. Mm-hmm. So it's fun.
Cool.
I really enjoyed myself. But it's a very good book. So I don't know what else to say about it. Harbinger is the name of the first one.
Okay.
Harbinger? Harbinger.
Guess I should have looked that one.
I should have looked it up. Harbinger.
Yep. I've been looking up words to pronounce them right all day.
Yeah, and it was published in 2005, and the last one was in 2012, so the last one's pretty recent. Mm-hmm. So they were going at a clip of 1 or 2 a year, it looks like.
That's pretty good.
Yep.
Well, speaking of Treks,
mm-hmm.
the book that I brought to talk about is nonfiction, and it's called Four Corners: A Journey into the Heart of Papua New Guinea, by Kira Selleck.
Hmm.
And basically, this woman is this amazing adventurer. She's a writer, and she, when she was 24, went to Papua New Guinea and traveled around it on her own. It was in the mid-90s, so it's been a while since then. And when she got home, she wrote this book, and she also wrote a novel, kind of based loosely on her experiences. It's pretty amazing to read this book. I have a personal connection with Papua New Guinea, even though I keep saying Papua, and it's probably mm-hmm. just Papua New Guinea. It's one of those words that's hard to find the right pronunciation for. There was a year in my life where I was deciding between things, and I almost headed off to this country of all the countries. I don't think I would have done well there. I don't like the heat. And it's pretty much all heat. Jungle.
Wow.
I guess I can read a little bit that kind of gives a feeling for it, if that's all right.
Yeah, please do.
Inexplicable sounds come from the depths of the jungle. Crashes, cawing, screeching. Only a person from one of the local tribes could adequately explain the sounds. The sudden rushing in the undergrowth and rustling high in the canopy. Traveling through this swampy jungle feels like being in a ceremony I don't understand. Where to put my feet? what to touch and not to touch. Can I step here? Is there something ahead of me that I can't see? Every step I take is tentative. Traveling with confidence must be learned, and only Mila moves effortlessly. No wonder she laughs at us so much. Sammy and I are always splashing and slipping behind her. There's none of the leisurely feeling I've gotten from hiking back home. Here, the jungle enfolds us in its tangled innards as if we were traveling through the belly of a gigantic beast. The rain is torrential. In the heavy humidity, I can't tell the difference between water and sweat. I plow through the knee-deep muck of our trail, my pack weighing me down, sinking me deeper into the mud, etc.
Wow.
So
nice. I'm embarrassed to say that I had to look up where this place is. It's right
north of Australia.
Yeah, it's just north of Australia. So it's right next to New Zealand. Is that right? Where's New Zealand?
South.
So it looks like an island that's split in half.
Boy, am I geographically
challenged.
So it's south of, half of the island now belongs to Indonesia.
Okay.
So it's like Indonesia's right north of there, and right north of that is the Philippines, and then you get to Southeast Asia. So that's kind of where it's placed in the world. It's part of Oceania, which I keep having to look up.
Nice.
So the island itself is called New Guinea.
And I see where New Zealand is. Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of further down to the right.
So I was mistaken.
Right.
Yeah. It's further down to the right of Australia. Mm-hmm. And I see it.
Yeah. So in the course of this book, she hires different people to take her places. Some of them steal her money. She meets with guerrillas who are resisting the Indonesian government in the jungle at a refugee camp. She gets threatened by a government official from Indonesia who is acting as a spy. She gets leeches and cockroaches and mud and disease. And it's crazy.
Wow.
It's so crazy. And the interesting thing is that she's moving around the country. So it's not like she's writing an ethnography. She's not an anthropologist or anything. She's not necessarily telling the story of the people. It's really the story about herself. She's had some trauma in her life before this. She always leaves things. So she's kind of using travel as a way to explore herself too, which I personally like. I know that other people who've read this book didn't like that, but I liked it.
Why would they not like that? I wonder.
They didn't want to know about her. They wanted her to be the vessel, you know? But to me, I want to know what makes people travel to places like this, you know?
Yeah. You ever watch Michael Palin's TV series?
No.
He's got several traveling TV series, you know, one called Sahara and one called New Europe. Anyway, it's his personal reactions to everything that make it interesting. I mean, the countries themselves are really interesting, but without a personality
filtered
there, I can't see how. Well, everything's filtered, right?
It has to be.
But yeah.
Might as well be obvious about it.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you can see some really amazing pictures on her website that are still up that I was poking around on the other day.
Oh, nice.
And since then, she's also written a book about journeying to Timbuktu in a canoe. She's just this fearless person. It's
Holy
really
cow.
Amazing.
What is her name again?
Kira Salak.
Kira Salak. Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was one of the first books I've read this year and really enjoyed it. And since then, I read a book about that actually was like an econo-ethnography about coffee production in Papua New Guinea. It sounds so boring, but it was really interesting.
Oh, wow.
So
that does sound fascinating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the country has changed a little bit probably since the 90s, but I think in some ways it hasn't changed.
Cool. And it's interesting that it's a jungle. You know, it doesn't leap to mind that north of Australia is a jungle. But Vietnam is a jungle, and it's not that far from there either.
Yeah, right? And because it's an island, too, there's also mountains and interesting ecosystem weather patterns. That's what makes it so good for growing coffee. Because if it's, I can't remember the name of that, it's subtropical or something like that. It's distance from the equator that matters for coffee growing. It's at the right place.
Nice.
But, you know, it's known, like, most of what I knew about New Guinea in general, like the entire island, is I grew up reading missionary stories, like Peace Child or Through Gates of Splendor, where missionaries go and there are cannibals and you know, kind of old timey.
Wow. I haven't heard of those.
Well,
the only missionary story that leaps to my mind is Shogun by James Clavell, which really isn't a missionary story. Yeah, but those, that's just what leapt to mind when you said missionary stories. And I'm thinking, but no, I haven't.
Well, these were like real life accounts. And we grew up with missionaries coming through our house because my mom would always bring them through because of what she did at her church. So it has some kind of similarities to that, you know, where you're out in the middle of a place that no one knows you and you don't necessarily belong, but without the religious underpinnings, I guess.
Wow. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Neat. The world.
The world.
The world. So you've traveled a little bit of the world over the break.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm going to travel more of the world this year.
Yeah. That's great. Where are you headed? Do you know?
Yeah. For one of my reading goals. Do you want to talk about reading goals?
Of course. What are you going to read next year?
Well, one of my big goals is I'm in this world literature group, and this is my fourth year in it. Wow.
Holy cow.
And the past 3 years, we focused on a country each year, which was really great because you can go really deep on a country. We did Japan and then Turkey and then Iceland. And this year we're doing Oceania. And Southeast Asia, like that whole swath, kind of including the Pacific Islands and, you know, everything kind of in between there. So that's why I started out reading something from New Guinea.
Nifty. So you're ahead of the game already.
Yeah. You should see my pile of books I brought home from the library, because next I'm going to read about how Michael Rockefeller was eaten by cannibals. I'm super excited.
Where did that happen?
In New Guinea, so on the other side of the country, or the island. It's a different country.
Okay, so you don't want to cross that middle line?
Oh, no, I'm going
to. Otherwise, people have you for dinner?
Well, it does have a different history to it. And the interesting thing about him is that we have his journals and we have his photos. He just didn't make it out.
Wow.
So I also have a book of his photos, and I have a book of his journals from then, too. So that'll be really interesting.
That will be interesting. I can't wait to hear about it.
Yeah. And I'm trying to read some books too that are like actually written by people from those countries. That's my preferred world literature way to do things. But in the middle, I read some nonfiction too. So that's kind of where I've started, is with the nonfiction this time.
Wow. Well, fun.
Yeah.
I look forward to hearing about all those. You bet. You got any other goals?
Yeah. I don't make a number goal because I try to just read until I'm done reading for the year. So I have a few Mighty Tomes that I want to read. Oh. I've started Dahlgren by Samuel Delaney already.
Oh, okay. I used to own that book, and I remember I owned it as a teenager. I remember reading about 100 pages of it.
That's about where I'm at right now.
Really? Yeah. And I was like head scratching and going,
What is going on? I don't think I know. But I'm reading it with the group.
Didn't get me back then. I wonder if it would now.
Yeah, well, it's still the same weird book.
Okay, so that's good. That makes my teenage self feel better. So it is odd.
It might be with it, but I'll let you know.
All right.
And maybe I have a question marks finish War and Peace. Possibly. I read half of it last year and then quit. But this year is its 150th anniversary, and you know, it might be a good time.
Yeah.
I really need to track down a paper copy. It would be easier. I really want to read some novels about spies.
Novels about spies.
I don't know which ones. I've read a John le Carre book, so I want to read different books than that.
So you want to be kind of a fictional accounts
or
realistic? Okay.
Yeah, I think both. I think both would be nice. Okay. There have been a lot of great CIA books.
How about a Lovecraftian one?
I don't know. Is there one of those?
Yeah, Declare by Tim Powers.
Oh.
It's excellent.
Everyone's always trying to get me to read Tim Powers.
Really? There are others?
No, it's just you.
I love Tim Powers.
I need a shelf of spy novels to read.
Oh, cool.
If anyone listening has suggestions, I would welcome them.
Neat.
And then I have two other, well, it's one goal, but I don't know if it really groups together well. There have been a few series of novels from countries other than the United States that have been translated into English recently. Mm-hmm. And they've been getting so much press. And I'm very curious about them, so I want to try both of them. I'm not necessarily committing to reading the entire novel series if I don't like them. Mm-hmm. But the first one is Min Kamp, which is Norwegian for My Struggle, by, let's see if I can pronounce this, Carl Ove Knausgård. Knausgård.
Nice.
It is a series of six autobiographical novels. So they're pretty loosely veiled based on him.
Huh.
And in Norway, it has sold 500,000 copies. So one copy for every 9 Norwegians.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, it's very popular there. So each book looks at a different period of his life. And it's like very personal and intimate. And I was watching this interview with him at the Library of Congress, where he said that he thought no one would care about anything. Like, he kind of wrote it for himself. Uh-huh. And he's found the opposite to be true, that the more personal he gets, the more interested people seem to be. And I don't know.
Fascinating.
It's interesting.
Well, what? How do you spell the title?
Well, the translation is My Struggle.
Oh,
but
okay.
M-I-N-K-A-M-P.
There it is, yeah.
You just have to soothe yourself. It looks a little bit like the Hitler novel.
Yeah, yeah.
Hitler book, but I swear it's not.
Wow.
And
book one introduces American readers to the audacious, addictive, and profoundly surprising international literary sensation that is the provocative and brilliant 6-volume autobiographical novel. That is a heck of a sentence, by Carl Ove Knausgård.
Yeah, so that's a lot of hype.
That sure is.
It's going to be hard to live up to that hype, but we'll see.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so then the other side of that, there's an author, and this is a pen name. No one knows who this person is, from Italy, Elena Ferrante. Mm-hmm. And she has written 4 novels. The last one has yet to be translated into English, but they're working on it. They're known as the Neapolitan novels, and they basically follow a friendship and rivalry between 2 women. So between the 1960s and present day.
Mm-hmm.
And they're set outside of Naples. So I don't know. I just heard really interesting things. I hadn't heard anything about this person. Then all of a sudden it was in the New Yorker, it was in the New York Times. So I was like, well, I'm going to try these books.
Well, neat.
The first one is called My Brilliant Friend.
My Brilliant Friend. Mm-hmm. Yep. The story begins in the 1950s in a poor but vibrant neighborhood on the outskirts of Naples. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard of either of those.
Mm-hmm. And then other than that, like, there's a few authors I think I'd like to try, but I'm not going to necessarily make them goals in case I don't feel like it. That's the thing about making goals, is like, sometimes if you make a goal, then it kind of takes the fun out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
With the Southeast Asia through Oceania thing, there's enough space in there where I can pick and choose.
Right, right.
It doesn't feel like I'm nailing myself down to anything.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. And I've kind of done a little bit of the opposite thing. I've done a few specific things. It's pretty modest goals, but specific.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, I did give myself a number. I'm going to try to do 52 in a year, which I've set as a goal a couple times, but I never really hit it. So I think I'm going to do it. Because,
and so have you read a book so far this year?
Yes, I have.
Excellent.
You're well, actually, actually 2.
Oh, you're ahead of schedule?
That's right. I read Among Others by Joe Walton. Mm-hmm. And Would You Baptize an Extraterrestrial by Brother Guy Consolmagno. Hmm. It's a couple.
2 books.
2 books so far. But yeah, let me call up here. So what I was thinking about when I was trying to think of what my goals should be is, I have 3 specific books that people ask me all the time if I've read. So I figure, you know, this year I'm going to get those off the list. One of them is The Sparrow by Mary Doria Russell.
Oh, Oh, that's great.
Yes. Everybody tells me that I have to read that.
You do.
It sits there unread year after year.
I don't know why. The combination of science fiction and Catholic.
Yeah.
That's why.
Right. And that's everybody just asks me that.
Yeah.
The second one is The Martian by Andy Weir, which it was the clear choice as the best novel of 2014 on Goodreads. I mean, it won by a good margin as far as it was in the science fiction section of that.
Right.
So People's Choice in science fiction.
And they're making a movie.
Are they?
Starring Matt Damon.
Matt Damon. All right. So now I know who to think about when I'm listening or reading it.
Have you seen the Bourne movies?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, I own those. You know how Jason Bourne doesn't have much emotional range?
Yeah, yeah.
It's perfect. Because that's the astronaut. He's not really much of a feeler.
He's not much of a feeler. Okay. Excellent. Okay, cool. So I need to read that one. Or I want to read that one. Yeah, all these are wants. These aren't, I'd like to be able to say, yeah, I've read that. And it was terrible. No.
Well, at least you would know, right?
That's right. And the last one is Hyperion/Fall of Hyperion by Dan Simmons. Now, yes. I've read Hyperion and I absolutely loved it. But I never did start the second one. And I don't know why. But everybody's like, oh, you got to read the second one. And there's also people that say, don't bother with the second one. So I figure, okay, I'm going to reread Hyperion and then follow it up with Fall of Hyperion, which is really, it's really one book because Hyperion ends super abruptly. Hmm. So I will read those two.
I was thinking about putting that on my goals this year because I've never read those either.
Really, really.
But I wasn't sure this was the right year for me.
Okay, okay. Hyperion is absolutely brilliant.
Hmm.
Super good.
Have you read other books by him?
Yeah, I've read a few. Song of Kali won a horror award, the Stoker Award, I think. And then I read Ilium. So there's another book that I read the first part of, but there's a second part called Olympos, which I haven't read. He's got a book called Carrion Comfort that I owned for a while. And again, I mean, it's a 1,000-pager, and I remember reading a couple hundred pages of it. And then some short stories, novellas. I do like him. You know, what I've read of him, I've enjoyed. So, and then I have three books that I call big rocks, which is, your tone, mighty tomes or whatever. Don Quixote is a book that I've been planning to read forever that I just haven't. It's just a book I want to read. So Don Quixote by Cervantes.
Which are you going to read it in Espanol?
No. Do you want it to take me all year long? And then I'm going to read Inferno by Dante. And that's another one that I would just love to read that I haven't.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And then the third one is The Habit of Being by Flannery O'Connor, which is a collection of her letters. And I've already started that. I'm just going to read them a few at a time and just let it take however long it takes. But I like her so much that I just, I got to read that book. It's something that has just been on the list for a long time.
So are they organized like in date order or subject?
I believe so. It seems to be. Yeah. The first few letters that I've read are her trying to land an agent and negotiating a contract for her first book, which was Wise Blood. And it's really interesting. It's interesting.
She didn't live very long.
No, she sure didn't. And then, one of the things that I did over break, or I discovered over the break, was there's these people on YouTube called BookTubers. Have you ever heard of them? You probably have, but I started to follow a couple of them, looking around, watching their videos, and I'm like, oh, this is neat. So I've spoken around, and a few of them have done this challenge where they've taken a specific author and have said, I'm going to read a book a month by this author this year.
Oh, cool.
And I thought about that. It hit me immediately because I'm like, You know, there's like three authors that leap to mind that I'm like, boy, I really want. And one of them is Tim Powers.
His books are pretty long.
I know. I haven't read enough of Tim Powers. But I went back and forth, and I decided that I'm going to try it. And the one I'm going to do is Gene Wolfe.
Oh.
But specifically, it's his Sun books, S-U-N. Mm-hmm. He's got a 4-volume Book of the New Sun. So that's January through April. And then he's got a book called The Earth of the New Sun. And then there's the Book of the Long Sun, which is another 4 novels. Huh. And then he's got the Book of the Short Sun, which is 3 books. And all that adds up.
There were so many sun
and it
ones.
Adds up to 12. Yeah. Oh. So these are books that have been, you know, this didn't come out of the blue. This, again, is something that year after year I'm like, oh, I wonder why I didn't read that.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? And I've read the Book of the New Sun, so it'll be a reread. The first 4 will be a reread. But it's been so long, and there's so much in there that having, you know, doing one a month will be nice, because they aren't huge. So okay. I think I'm going to succeed.
But they're dense. There's a lot.
They're very
in
dense.
There.
There's right.
Can
there's
you
a lot
tell
in
us
there.
What those are about?
Well, they're about this guy named Severian. Gosh, how do I even say what it's about? He's a torturer. The first book is called The Shadow of the Torturer. I don't know how to tell you about it without having it more fresh in my memory.
Oh, yeah, that's okay.
But he's,
well, maybe you'll
but,
have
but,
to
but
come
there's,
back
there,
with it.
Yeah, but there's some really interesting things going on. Like, he claims to have a absolutely perfect memory. And that happens, like, on the first page. So you're like, okay, is he telling you the truth or is he not? And then as things go on, you... these things unfold. So, you know, Gene Wolfe plays with, you know, characters and motivations and these, you know, literary tropes and stuff. You know, he's twisting them and playing with them. And you can read the book and not catch any of that. Hmm. Or you can read it and try to catch that stuff. But he does things like, you know, play with memory. You know, when a character says, you know, I have an absolutely photographic memory, does that make him reliable or not? And that's a question that he asks in this series as well. So the book, it's called science fantasy because it's way in the future, but it's so far in the future that technology is kind of magic.
Right. Like it's post-tech.
Exactly right. It's post-tech. So he's a torturer. That's his job is, he tortures people. And
I just hadn't heard, like, I'd heard of the first 4,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't know there were all those other
signs. Yeah, and I can't see you. I haven't read past the first 4, so I don't know how they're related.
Well, that would be great to hear about.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny because I was looking back at when we had 2 people on the podcast from the Sword and Laser Book Club,
mm-hmm.
and they were talking about how 2 of their favorite books that they read with that book club were Hyperion by Dan Simmons and Shadow and Glow by Gene Wolfe.
How do you like that?
So,
well, yeah, and see,
shared interests.
That's
there.
Cool. And the 4 books, you know, Shadow of the Torturer, The Claw of the Conciliator, The Sword of the Lictor, and The Citadel of the Autarch, that's mm-hmm. really one book. It's not 4 books. It's like it stops. So at the end of Claw, it stops, and then it picks up in The Sword of the Lictor.
So Book of the New Sun is actually the book.
Is actually a book, yeah. It's kind of like Lord of the Rings. You know,
yeah.
The Lord of the Rings trilogy is one book. It's not. It wasn't meant to be broken into 3. Whether this one was meant to be broken into 4 or why they broke it into 4, I'm not certain. But it's definitely one book. Hmm. Yeah. And I hope to read some companion books with it. You know, they're... I actually own a book. I can't remember what it's called. I don't have it in front of me, but it's about the Book of the New Sun. And I don't know whether to read it first or during or after.
Is it set up in the order of the book?
Because good question. I'll look at it.
Yeah. When I read Ulysses, I had a companion book that was set up that way. So what I would do is read a chapter of Ulysses and then the companion piece to that chapter.
Oh,
so it didn't
cool.
ruin it for me, but it also was really fresh in my head.
Oh, cool.
And that worked out really well because there's no way I was just going to sit and read it in one sitting anyway.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, I'll look at that because that would be neat. That would be neat.
Yeah. It's good that they've written something like that for him because his books are so complex. I mean, you're right. You can just read it on the very shallow level and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much there.
Yeah, yeah.
I definitely didn't get most of it. I just read the first one or two, I guess.
Yeah, but I remember Orson Scott Card talking about Gene Wolfe one time, and he said, Gene Wolfe assumes that you're brilliant because he'll mention a character like on page 50, and then on page 400, this character will walk in, and he'll expect you to remember that that character came in page 50.
Wow.
And that this is the same person. And I agree with that. You know, it's like you can read his books over and over and over and just catch things like that. And you're like, oh my gosh, that's the same person.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. That'll be fun. So I look at that. I'm like, you know, hey, if I could do that this year, I'll be so happy, you know, because I'll look back on that and I'll say, I really did that.
And that's that would be a quarter of the way to 52, right?
It is. Yeah, it is. So, yeah, and there's a book that's coming out. I was thinking a little bit about 2015. You know, if something comes out this year that I really want to read, I'm not going to hesitate to read it. You know, like in 2014, I really didn't look for anything in 2014. Mm-hmm. But in 2015, there's a book coming out that I really want to read. And it's called Ghost Talkers by Mary Robinette Cole. And
it's a new series, right?
It's going to be new. Yeah. And the thing is, I got to see her at a convention this year, WesterCon. She was at WesterCon and she read a portion of it or an excerpt. But she said that it was going to come out in 2016, but now on her website, in her bibliography, it says late 2015. So I'm hoping that they've pushed that up and that's really what's going to happen. So this may not happen till 2016, but what it is, I've got her description of it from Reddit. She says, 1916, the Battle of Somme, the British intelligence service has taken advantage of the spiritualist movement to develop the spirit corps. Every soldier is conditioned to report in to a medium upon their death, which means the Brits are getting instant troop updates from the front. Soldiers with life-threatening wounds will allow their positions to be overrun so they can die behind enemy lines and report positions of weapons and personnel. Then the Germans figure out that the Spirit Corps exists. The problem? The soldiers are imprinted on a place since there was no way to know which medium would be available upon death. The Spirit Corps can't be moved. And then she says things go downhill from there. That sounds so wonderful. I cannot wait. So I'm eager to read that.
Yeah. And I was, I think I must've heard her say something about it in Twitter or something. Cause it seems familiar to me.
Yeah. I looked on her blog and she's sort of posting it chapter by chapter, but for a select group. So she'll put a blog post on there that says, hey, chapter 20 is out for those that are following along. And they must have, you know, she must just have a group of readers that have passwords and are, you know, reading it for her.
I wonder if it was some kind of like a Kickstarter or something like
maybe,
that.
Maybe, maybe.
Well, and I was looking through the Millions always does those the most anticipated books, the book preview.
Yeah.
Man, there's some good stuff coming out.
Is there? Well, that's cool.
This is why I can't make my goals too restrictive because I want space to, you know, grab the new things that sound interesting to me.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah, and then there's that Jane Smiley book that's coming out, too.
Oh, yeah, I was looking at that, too, and I did notice that. Jane Smiley, I read 1,000 Acres, and I really liked it. Mm-hmm. And she's writing a new one. I think the first one's called Some Luck, and that came out this year. And the second one is coming out next year. It seems to be a multi-generational book about a farm family in Iowa.
Yeah, Early Warning. That's the one that'll come out this year.
Okay.
And Some Luck came out last year.
Right.
Because we're in 2015 now.
We are. So I'm interested in reading those. And you know, so for her to go, it's almost like she's returning to her roots. And I haven't read anything except for 1,000 Acres. So I don't know where she went as a writer But I do know that, those interest me.
Yeah, and one of the random authors that I feel like nobody knows about is coming out with a new novel, Tom McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a novel called Staten Island. It introduces us to a corporate anthropologist struggling to wrest an overarching account of contemporary existence from a miasma of distraction and dream. Sounds very esoteric.
Yeah.
And his novels tend to be, so I'm kind of looking forward to that one.
Oh, cool.
But there's a lot of great stuff coming out. It's just always so many good books.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got to poke around some more.
Yeah.
But that's cool. That's cool.
I was looking at the Guardian list too, but I don't have it up in front of me. And there was some kind of poetry collection about librarians.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to try to track that one down.
Cool. Yeah. So, I was trying to think of other bookish things. My daughter made me put down, take my daughter to more bookstores.
Aw, that's a great goal.
So that's on the goal. Yep.
You could go on a bookstore road trip.
That's right. And we're going to go to what's become my favorite convention. I just love it now. Not that I never disliked it, but it's called Life, the Universe, and Everything. That's in February, Valentine's Day.
Is that one in your area?
Valentine's
too?
Day weekend. Yeah, that's down in Provo, Utah.
Wow.
And I'm
you guys
taking,
have lots of conventions.
You know, yeah. There. The two, I'm taking my daughter and my niece, the same two that were on a podcast. I can't remember what number it was.
Hmm.
But they're both coming. So,
fun.
And that's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that one. And then Worldcon this year is in Spokane, which is within driving distance. So,
You've got to go.
I've got to go. I'm loosely planning to be there. The only thing that could throw a wrench in there is work.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know. I can't predict right now what this year is going to look like for me. But WorldCon is in late August.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's when they pick the Hugo Awards.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. And if I do WorldCon, I'll have to participate in the Hugos because...
Oh, yeah.
Because it's cool. I had, you know, that not a very good experience again at reading the Hugos, but it's almost as if, you know, and this may be some of my own, you know, thinking that, you know, like a wall that I'm putting up or whatever, but I feel like it's kind of passed me by. When I look at a list of science fiction and fantasy that's coming out, the ones that interest me, there's very, very few. So,
yeah, but look at your goal list.
I know, but my goal list, but what of that has come out? You know, I guess Martian by Andy Weir.
Yeah.
And that reminds me, there's a fantasy novel that I really wanted to read that I mentioned in our last podcast. The City of Doors. Is that what it was called? City of Doors.
City
of Stairs. That's it. The City of Stairs by Robert Jackson Bennett. This is another book that I'm interested in.
Quick, write it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of the other reading I'm going to be doing has to do with authors that I'm going to meet.
Nice.
Or, you know, attend a session from, hopefully meet, I guess I should say.
Yeah, cool.
I'm going to go back to that open book series.
Well, who's there
down
this year?
It. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll miss a few because of a trip, but I will get to see George Saunders and Chang-Rae Lee and Teju Cole, which I'm very excited about. And then in the summer, I always go to the readings that they do for the Shared Worlds group. It's like a camp for kids who want to learn how to write speculative fiction. And they do all this world building, but they also bring authors in.
Mm-hmm.
And Catherine Valente is going to be there this
summer.
No
so way.
I'm
you love
so,
Catherine Valente.
I know. I hope that she does a reading. I hope that I'm around because I would love that.
Oh,
so
that's
I need
cool.
to like go and reread everything she's ever written.
What leaps to
chore.
Mind when you say her name? What book?
Well, I personally, my favorite novel is Palimpsest.
Mm.
But a lot of people know her from The Girl Who... I always have to look at the name of the novel of it. It's so long. The Girl Who Traveled Around Fairyland in a Ship of Her Own Making, I think is the first one. So she writes a lot of fantasy. Her earlier works tend to be, have a lot of mythology in them, like world mythology.
Mm-hmm.
There's this set of books, The Orphan Tales, that are like tales within tales within tales within tales that are just fascinating. But she's such a beautiful writer. She could like write a phone book and it would be beautiful.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. And George Saunders is one of the few writers I know of in the country that basically only writes short stories, and he's known for his stories. So I thought that would be interesting.
Yeah, it would.
But I always like to go hear people read and see what they're really like. And sometimes that makes me like authors more.
Yeah, I agree.
And let's not talk about the other times.
No, I'm almost always enhanced by that. You know,
yeah.
Even if you're not like an aspiring writer or anything like that, these conventions are still just so much fun.
Yeah.
It seems like, you know, a lot of the programming has to do with, you know, how you write a good character and how you do this. But, you know, once you get to the Worldcon level, there's all kinds of things and just great fun. I've only been to one. The Worldcon, I went to the one in L.A. What was it? I'm turning around because the badge is right there. It looks like 2006 is when we went. A lot of fun. Yeah. So you're going to come to Spokane, right?
Oh, I'd like to. I was thinking that was still a year away.
It's a little bit less.
It's 2015, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Crazy, huh?
Exciting, though.
You bet.
Spokane, though.
Spokane.
Spokane. What's in Spokane?
Well, it doesn't matter what's in Spokane. You're not going to be out looking at sights.
I know, but is there an airport?
Surely there's an airport.
I mean, how are the people that are coming in going to get there?
That's a good question. Surely there's an airport.
I hope there's an airport. Mostly farmland, as far as I remember.
Yep, we'll see how the year pans out, but
it's going to be a great
really
year.
I'm thinking that I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, we better get out of here and go read something.
Yeah. I have two book reviews to write.
Nice. As do I. As do I.
You do.
All right. Well, here's to another excellent year.
Cheers.
Year two. Cheers, cheers. See you later, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Reading Envy podcast. You can find us at readingenvy.com.